Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise one minute at a time. I'm Chris.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Tabitha.
And I'm Chris.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Vivian Scorpio.
Oh, Vivian.
Hey,
Vivian.
Hi.
I'm something Lippincott. Chad?
If something, Victor?
If something very white. What was my name? I can't remember now.
Oh, well. Randall?
I'll look it up later. Randall Lippincott.
Something like that.
Well, welcome back, guys. It is minute three of the movie Mission Impossible 2 by John Woo and Robert Towne and Tom Cruise.
Woo!
Woo!
We're excited. This minute begins with Tom Cruise and the doctor talking in their plush seats on an airplane and ends with us looking at the doc's lap. He has his leather attaché case.
Telling Tommy Cruise to come sit on it.
Yep, basically. He and Tom have a special relationship and bond in this movie. So this is where we finally start learning a little more about who Dimitri is and who he is to the doctor. So Dimitri is an old friend because Ethan seems weird. Ethan's acting odd. He's like, you'll be with old friends soon. And then the doc's like, I'm with old friends now. So there's a relationship here. Ethan has been... He's a super spy, so he's probably been keeping this guy on a short leash for years. I don't know how they met. There are no comic books. There is no, unfortunately, no novelization of this movie.
Really?
So I have no backstory.
Oh, no.
I have no. It's 2000. There are no novelization. Guys, I hate to tell you this in minute three. There is zero novelizations of this movie.
No.
There's a script. So we'll be reading from the script some, but it's just not the same level of grossness that the
first one had.
That the
first there's no
movie
sleazy
had.
Book adaptation of it.
No, there's no sleazy book adaptation.
Well, you could read from like 50 Shades of Grey and just put Ethan in there and Dimitri and all those characters. You know, that would work.
Oh, that's out there. That was a segment that has now gone by the wayside. The Carlisles and I looked at some fan fiction and said, nope, we're good.
Yeah,
we we're like, nope. It's hard with a series that's also been around for so long because there's so many opinions about so many of these scenes. It's painful. Yeah. So
it's got to be some like exciting version of the Bellerophon and Chimera story. But looking on the internet, doing research for it, I couldn't find anything real, you know, juicy. Or it just kind of describes the fight that they had. And like, yeah, the one guy beat the other guy.
If you want juicy, go watch the original Clash of the Titans. That'll pretty much get you basically what you need. Perseus fights basically a goat monster. I mean, that's what...
There you go.
Caliban or Calibac?
It's a good question.
You guys know what I'm talking about, right?
I do.
All right. Sure. I had the action figures.
I did too.
Raise your hand if you had the action figures from Clash of the Titans.
My hand is not raised.
I had the Kraken.
So this may have been before their time.
Yeah.
I could say release the Kraken. But is that...
that's
only because you... From the remake.
Or from what's it called? Pirates of the Caribbean?
I don't think I say that. Do they? I mean, there is a Kraken in Pirates of the Caribbean. I don't know if they say release the Kraken.
I don't think they say
that's
it.
No.
Yeah,
right.
Calibus. That's what his name is. Calibus. You're right.
Those movies are... All those movies, except for the first one, are literally all my Mission Impossible 2. I haven't seen those movies in years. I saw them once. Have not seen them since. I don't know anything. Except Jack Sparrow is... dirty. That's all I know. He has dirty fingernails. That's all I know.
Yeah.
He's known Dimitri before. They're talking about the Chimera virus. And Ethan's acting cagey. He asks if the virus and the antidote can be carried together. He seems interested in this. And the doctor tells him yes. That's a classic misunderstanding right there. That's a Three's Company level misunderstanding. He should have been more clear. He should have been like, oh, yeah, I have the antidote, but I, like a crazy person, hey, Ethan, check this out, Dimitri. I injected myself with the virus. He would have been like, what?
Yeah.
Now, I'm noticing that the doctor has like a black armband on his arm. Do we know anything about that?
Well, he did just mention in this minute about, I think it's in this minute, about Gretzky thinking the world of Dimitri. And then he asked if he... knew that they had succeeded with Bellerophon before he died. So I'm guessing that the armband is for him.
That's weird normally you don't wear a armband
for a friend that died
to yeah. work. That's also, was he wearing
no,
it?
No, he wasn't. That's why I'm asking about
no,
it.
No, he was.
Yeah.
I didn't bring it up in the last minute, but I saw it in minute two. It was actually in my notes for that. You could see it just above his case as he was walking out looking at the children in the last minute. You could see just a bit of the black. That's when I first noticed it.
Interesting.
So that's weird.
We have to go to the script for
that. Well, I mean, it would have been. So what it seems like is in the script is that Gratzky was another scientist, and Ethan, or God, I keep calling him Ethan, and Dimitri asks, "Oh, did he know in the end what you guys had created?" And he's like, "Yes, we knew. He knew, but there was no way to save him." And we learn the big number is that 20 hours after being infected with Chimera, which they're about to get to because that's how long the flight is. There is no cure. Nothing can help you. So Gratzky died. This, I guess, was his partner. His partner died from the disease that he has injected himself.
Yeah.
Yes. So now this goes back to Jonathan's. Why did he inject himself? This is going to continue every day. It's the same as when we used to say, why not just have a copy of the knock list and just give them a fake one? I don't know. I don't know. Why not?
MacGuffins.
Why not ever have this list? Why not ever have this list?
Yeah.
So that's it. That's basically where we are. We have a disease that's inside of a dude. Dimitri does not know that he thinks it's being carried in the case because he looks down at the case. He's like, oh, it's in the case. Let's get to it. We have a classic misdirect going on right here. Why would anyone – have you guys ever thought about this? This is from a scientist point of view. You know, Madame Curie and all these different people who were scientists who went to great lengths to prove things and they actually exposed themselves to deadly substances. How often do you think this happens? In real life?
Probably all the time.
Nowadays? Do you think people actually expose themselves?
Yeah, probably. I mean, you know, if we go by movies and stuff and history, then yeah, probably all the time.
Do you think Dr. Nekorovich, whatever his name is, there are people like him right now infecting themselves with insane
probably.
Stuff?
Probably. They had a death wish.
Oh, my God.
You're scared. You know, well, I think about it, you know, what's his name? In The Fly, he jumped into the thing to test it. Hurt himself the same.
Well, you said The Thing.
No, In The Fly, he jumped into the pod.
In The Fly,
Brundle. He jumped into the pod.
Oh, so he's a pod person.
So he jumped in. Well, he was in that pod movie also. Invasion of the Body Snatchers. But no, you know.
Oh, the guy from Independence.
Yes, that guy, that buggy guy.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, I love The Fly.
I do too. But same sort of thing, same situation where the scientist tested it on himself because why not make history?
It's crazy.
It's also scary that he got the vial of Bellerophon on the plane.
Yeah.
Like through security.
Well, it's under 6 ounces, so.
I'm sure. So it's okay.
And this is pre 9/11 too.
Yeah, pre 9/11. So
you could have walked on there with a sword or anything, you know. Nobody cared then.
So the Chimera, I'm guessing he couldn't do the same thing as he did with Bellerophon because Chimera was probably encased. And that was more protected, so he couldn't just get a vial of it. So I guess that was the only way he could get it out. But why was he getting it out? He's bringing it to Atlanta.
Because I think he's afraid that that Biosite was going to weaponize it or sell it.
But they still have it.
So he's not in charge of it then? He's not in charge of this whole operation? He's just a guy?
He is in charge, but I know that later on we're going to find out. I mean, the bug is still there. The virus is still in Biosite. Right. He's done nothing but just bring it with him.
Right. So I'm guessing he wants to bring it to America for the good guys to have it and study it.
Yeah, in case they need to make a you know, copies of it.
He's also caught when I think that they're going to do some sort of, you know, later on in the movie, they're going to try and infect people on purpose so they have a cure for an incurable disease.
But don't they already have that? Isn't that what Bellerophon is?
Yeah, but then they can sell it.
They can sell the cure. Yeah.
So why do they need...
It's all about money.
Why does he need to bring Chimera to America? If he already has the cure for it.
So they can understand it more? I guess, I don't know.
I saw that Eddie Murphy movie, Chimera to America.
Chimera to America.
It's pretty good. It's not bad. They do a lot of funny characters, and he plays an old man, old Jewish man. It's pretty hilarious. What? Chimera? No. Forget about it.
Yes. Again, it's the MacGuffin, so it's not really going to make a lot of sense. You know?
But MacGuffin should make sense.
Really?
And that's one of the problems with it. Yes, but the MacGuffins have gotten better.
Yeah,
in the past few years,
that is true.
Look. What was the last MacGuffin in the last Fast and Furious movie? It was a baby. That's a great MacGuffin.
I didn't see it.
Me neither.
There's a baby.
I think the last one I saw was probably Tokyo Drift. What? Yeah, I think that's the last one I saw. I've got them sitting here. I just haven't watched them.
I've got them sitting here. They're looking at me right now.
Over there, but there's like a big wheel that all the discs are in it. I haven't looked at them.
Do you just spin it at night to see what you're going to watch? Just kind of like a...
It just sits there. I'm like, I roll it and the cats play with it. Roll it down the stairs.
Your life is weird.
Yeah, I know. That's why I do this.
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. There's a moment at 30 seconds where these gentlemen know each other well. At least the doctor thinks he knows Dimitri really well. Mm-hmm. Dimitri seems mad. He seems like, when my wife's mad at me, but she doesn't tell me that she's mad at me, and I say, are you mad at me? And she says, I'm not mad at you. And I'm like, you're mad at me.
Exactly.
That's what he seems like right now. He seems like he's mad at the doctor.
Yeah.
For what that's worth.
And when the doctor says, you're sorry and I'm sorry, he says it in a way that Dimitri should understand what he's saying. Like, it's a phrase that they understand. Which later in the movie, there's more about that. But you can see in Dimitri's face, in his eyes, like, what are you saying? That's a weird phrase. I don't understand it.
What's funny is Jonathan and I were talking about this the other day. That phrase is actually an homage to the same phrase in Dr. Strangelove.
Oh.
Yeah. And Cruise, having just worked with Kubrick, it was, you know, a little homage to that, where the president is talking to Dimitri on the other line about the Russian attack. And he's like, yes, Dimitri, you're sorry, and I am sorry, and you are sorry. But that's not the point. He's trying to get past that you are sorry and I am sorry moment. And he's saying, Dimitri, I understand you're sorry, I am sorry, and you are sorry. And so so it's a nice little fun poke at Dr. Strangelove and homage, which I think is great.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, when Chris told me that, I completely missed that. So it must be an inside joke. Like you were saying, Tabitha, it is I think the doctor was expecting a bigger response from him.
Yes.
Because I think it must be like an inside joke between them. Mm-hmm. Kind of like 94, Deck Officer, Long Time. He was expecting them to say something back, and they didn't. And he just kind of looks at him. And right now, the doctor has no way of knowing this is not Dimitri.
Right.
Spoilers.
So the first time that you saw Mission Impossible 2, did you think that this was Tom Cruise? Did you feel like something was off? He seemed a little sleazy. Or did you feel like Ethan, did you feel that he was suspicious of the doctor and the doctor was actually evil? Like, how were you?
To me, it felt like he was like, oh, I had to bring this guy in because he's literally a loose cannon. I don't know what's going on. I forgot until we started watching it again. I was like, oh my God, this is the scene where he rips off the mask. I did not remember that this is how they introduce the bad guy in this movie. Yeah, I did not see it coming originally.
Yeah.
How could I? Because this guy looks like Ethan Hunt.
Right.
He's not Ethan Hunt with a mustache or Tom Cruise wearing some sort of prosthetic. Yeah. Over his face to look like
somebody pretending to be Tom Cruise or Cruise trying to pretend to be somebody else. Yeah.
This movie finally figures out what to do, which is, you know, just use the person's normal face and have them fake rip off something. Yeah. Great. Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, wait, I mean, you know, in the commentary, John Woo talks about how he wanted the audience to be shocked that it was Tom Cruise doing these awful things. He's like, what's going on? You know, he wanted the audience to be confused and shocked that Tom Cruise would be doing this. And must think, oh, this guy must be a really bad guy if Tom Cruise is doing this. So it made the reveal all the more surprising, you know, when you see that Tom is not Tom when we get to that.
I'm glad that John Woo is big on doing things that are confusing, because he's going to keep doing that this movie.
And he also said he wanted to pay homage to Face Off, because Cruise loved Face Off.
Okay.
I just liked the whole sorry thing. Is that like Chekhov's sorry? Because it does come back. I don't know that it comes back in the third act or anything like that. That is the weird... You guys will obviously get there and talk about that, but it does come back around, but it doesn't come around in a way that like reveals anything to anybody.
No, there's lots of I'm sorrys. There, it happens... you're right. It's the culmination of this scene. It's the culmination of the second act when someone's going to say something and she had to do something and she's sorry she had to do it and he's sorry. It's you're right. There is through the whole movie all the way to the end, where the end of the movie is also like, I'm going to have to do something awful because we're going to have to, you know, either kill this person before they infect anybody. I'm sorry. You know, it's the only time it's never I'm sorry is with the bad guys, but everybody else seems like unwitting pawns, especially later on when we meet the Thandie Newton's character. Yeah. He seems to be apologizing the whole movie for having to even involve her in this.
Yeah.
So.
Agreed.
But that's not this minute. That's later minutes. Speaking of this minute, let's do some tech of the ep for this minute. Minute number three. Here we go. All right. Tech of the ep. Ooh, this is one of those scenes where nothing happens and nothing is done. Going to take a Carlisle eagle eye to let us know what kind of tech they've got. So I'm going to make Jonathan go first.
I guess I'm going to have to go with his brown bag because at least according to what he is saying, you can carry Chimera and Bellerophon. Bellerophon. The same case safely. He's not doing it. But he's saying that you can do it.
His actions are saying you can take it with you.
Yeah.
I already foresee a really new weird t-shirt coming out of this. We're going to have a lot of bags. A lot of bags and hypo sprays. And the tech's already off the wheels. We're already into some weird stuff. What about you, Tabitha?
I'm going to go with the airplane window because he can see the Rocky Mountains. Hey. Yeah.
And as we've learned recently, airplane windows are extremely important. And when they come out, bad things happen.
That's right.
To normal people.
That's right. And it sheds light. You know, it puts more light in there. So you know, it's a good thing. Airplane windows.
All right. Airplane window. Chris?
I'm going with the big seats that Jonathan pointed out last minute. You know,
they're so
they look so huge. I mean, it's like I think my dorm bed was
just
in it.
I saw on the news just recently that Congress is actually going to pass a bill like in the next couple of weeks to limit, they can no longer make them smaller. They keep making them smaller. They keep making airplane seats smaller. They're now at a point where they're like, a human body can't even fit in this seat. Except for Jonathan Carlisle and Tabitha because they're fit. But when I go in there, I'm already taxing the limits of, I sit down on one of those chairs and I'm like, oh, I hope a big guy didn't come sit next to me or we're going to have a problem. We're going to be touching knees the entire time. These seats are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're like Lazy Boy chairs. Oh, but they're made of fabric. Oh, those things. Let's start the whole. What does that smell like? What do you think that plane smells like? What do you think those seats smell like? It doesn't smell good.
Yeah,
they smell like Hemsworth.
Everybody's hair is nasty. The doctor's hair is nasty. Ethan's hair is not great. I mean, it's beautiful, but you know, it's probably got product in it.
That's sleazy Ethan hair though. So yeah, it probably does.
Sleethan.
Sleazy. Sleethan.
Sleethy.
Sleethan.
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 Sleethan hate.
Mm-hmm.
Sleethan is... or Greethan. Greason? Greason. Greason Hunt. He's like greasy Ethan Hunt. I needed something that distills down what he is. Yeah, he's gross.
Is that your like his hair product or something?
My tech's his beautiful hairdo. He looks so cool right now. And his little Batman shirt and jacket, his little, 2000, we were all about those little,
mock turtlenecks. Yeah.
Mock turtlenecks things.
Yep.
He looks like Bruce Wayne.
Yep.
So, yeah. Right now it's Ethan. Ethan is the tech of the app.
Yeah.
So, yep, that's where we're going to end this with his, with me objectifying Tom Cruise for his beauty. So we've objectified Tom Cruise again for the beautiful human that he is, except for that weird tooth that's right in the middle.
You can really notice it in these scenes. Like that's you really.
Oh yeah, the
it.
Definition, it, the high def it, that's coming in the future is not his friend. when it comes to middle tooth, you're like,
well, didn't he have his Invisalign thing going on for a while there? Like he fixed the teeth. I think they're fixed now.
They may be, but they weren't for, I mean, we have pictures up sometimes on our Facebook group of, we've put drawn a straight line down his mouth and there's a tooth in the middle.
I wonder if it's a lot better than it used to be because it really shows in these couple minutes here.
I think they did a good job with the first Mission Impossible. I don't know, just framing everybody's face or something where you don't really notice it, but I remember watching this movie the very first time, not looking for it. I'm kind of forgetting about it. But then seeing it so much in this movie, I don't know if there's so many close-ups and slow motions or something, but I was like, wow, center tooth. It's there a lot.
Center tooth. then we'll end this episode here, and we'll come back tomorrow for minute four of Minute Impossible, Mission Impossible 2, starring John Woo and, well, not starring John Woo, starring Doves, John Woo.
Slow motion, double guns.
We haven't gotten any of those things yet. All we've gotten are airplane windows and leather seats and beautiful
bubble sculpture. Man,
and bubble sculpture. So until tomorrow, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
And I've been Jonathan.
And I've been Tabitha.
This minute will self-destruct.
Impossible. Impossible. Impossible.